Hello, dear listener, and congratulations for once again joining the Fantasy Sports Scout European Edition. My name is Edward, and I'm bursting with excitement for Euro 2020. I'm joined by...
Julia here, again, in case you missed me. And I think it's time for us to dive right into the... Wait a minute.
We have fancy sound effects. They don't always work. But that's our sound effect for group review. We're today talking about group E.
Today we're going to talk about group E, and I think we start time for us
Go
to
Julia.
Start with Spain. I think Spain is the one that everybody knows about the most, and they have most stars. And obviously we have La Liga, which is another, you know, very famous championship from Europe. And let's see who plays for Spain in this Euro 2020.
Okay, so it's Spain is one of the most interesting teams. Obviously, they dominated international football for almost, you know, 15 years. Had such an incredible generation with Xavi and Iniesta. They have a pretty much new squad now, and their manager Luis Enrique has pulled some big surprises. The biggest of them is the fact that he asked exactly no Real Madrid players into this squad. Would you believe that?
He said that he doesn't want any players from Real Madrid in his team?
No, he didn't actually say that, but he didn't ask any Real Madrid players
into the squad. So it was kind of a coincidence, but somebody noticed that none of them were asked to join, right?
I think it's the first time in Spain's history. Obviously, Real didn't have an exceptional season, but not even Sergio Ramos, the captain of Spain, usually, and of Real, is asked
but
into this squad.
Maybe that's because Real Madrid doesn't have a lot of Spanish players. Or is it...
It's a mix. They do have some international players as well. But that doesn't mean that Spain doesn't have an interesting squad, and I'm emphasizing the word interesting because a lot of these players haven't really proven themselves on international level just yet.
But they're playing for really big clubs in Europe. We have players from Barcelona, Valencia, Manchester City, Manchester United, Paris Saint-Germain, where are you going? Go back, scroll. Okay, Napoli, right? So really big teams, I don't know.
Yeah, a real assortment of big clubs. But
Liverpool.
The fact is that players like, let's say, Rodri from Manchester City, of course, does great there, hasn't really proven himself. And there are a few like those. Marcos Llorente was exceptional for Atletico Madrid this season. So was Gerard Moreno for Villarreal, who won the Europa League. Will they be able to cut at international level? You know, they're one of the favorites in the tournament, but for once in a long time, I don't think their supporters are that optimistic.
I'm just curious. I just noticed that one of their goalkeepers is David De Gea, which is the goalkeeper at Manchester United. And although I really, you know, watch Manchester United mostly because of you, because you're a big fan, in case anyone has any doubts, I remember we recently watched the final of Europa League, in which United played against Spanish team Villarreal. Yeah, and it was spectacular because they got to the penalty stage of the game. How is it called? You know, and all the players from both teams had to do the penalty, and then even the goalkeepers had to do it, and in order to decide who's gonna win, because everybody was scoring, and then De Gea was the one who didn't manage to put
the ball in the
goal. Yeah, so it was kind of weird, but then again, he's a goalkeeper, so usually
he's never asked to score a goal, so that was rather unusual. But I'm just guessing that it was a huge pressure on him, and he must feel a bit, you know, disappointed. But then again, he's a goalkeeper, not a forward or anything.
He, De Gea, won't probably be asked to take a lot of spot kicks this time around.
Yes.
But he might not even be asked to defend them. Obviously, he hasn't been in incredible form recently. And Unai Simon from Athletic Bilbao might be the starting keeper. We don't know yet. What we do know is that Luis Enrique tries to play this style of football that is mostly associated with Barcelona, usually in this robust 4-3-3 system. There's Julia, a lot of passing going on. Basically, Spain is a team that likes to keep possession. And if you look at their midfielders, there's a lot of talent and skill there. I'm especially thinking of Thiago and the aging Sergio Busquets. One player, or let's actually focus on a couple of players that I think fans should watch out for, might not be very familiar, are Dani Olmo from RB Leipzig, who I confess I didn't even know he was Spanish until recently.
Okay.
But he's one of those, like his teammate Sabitzer, who we talked about, Marcel Sabitzer. Dani Olmo has a great amount of skill. He can play in a number of positions. He can really take up responsibility. And there have been a lot of talks of teams like Spurs and even Manchester United looking at him in the past. I think he could be one of the breakout stars.
I just want to mention, you just said Spurs, and for people who don't follow Premier League, that's Tottenham?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically most clubs, big clubs, have nicknames. And Spurs is a nickname for Tottenham in Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. So if you look at the squad, what worries me is that I'm not sure they have a clear leader, which didn't happen in the past. But there are definitely some exceptional players in all positions. I'd also watch out for Gerard Moreno and Mikel Oyarzabal, if they do play. Moreno scored against Manchester United in this final.
He's a forward at Villarreal.
Yeah, he's very, very skilled. And Mikel Oyarzabal, I think he's playing for Real Sociedad. And I've rarely seen a Spanish striker with more potential. He can be exceptional. I don't know if he'll start. I'm thinking probably Enrique will go for Alvaro Morata, who obviously played for Juventus last season. He'll be back at Atletico Madrid. But Spain, I'm predicting they could be one. They're one of the favorites.
Oh, okay.
One of the favorites to win the tournament.
So basically, you're looking at this very big football news website, and they're ranking it as one of the favorites, and I can understand that they are. But I don't.
I think they could also be one of the big surprises of teams that goes out very early.
Yeah, I think there is also a big chance that they do not qualify. That's what I was going for, because I feel that the team is a rather good team when you look at the players individually, but I don't think they feel as a team.
Right.
Yeah, so that's my take from a very non-football person. So
I think I might be wrong. Not qualifying would be a disaster in Spain, but you know, for whom it wouldn't really be a disaster for any of the other teams, or at least two of them.
Okay.
And let's talk about another of the more famous ones.
Let's talk about Sweden. So we also have Sweden in Group E, and to be honest, I don't know exactly if Sweden has like a huge history of successes in international football. I might be wrong, but from my football background, I would assume not.
You know, Swedish people are usually very nice and polite, so I'll just go out and say it. They don't do badly, but man, are they such a boring sight to watch usually. They're an excruciatingly ugly team to watch in the past. Because most of their style was just this like physical football style with very little flair. Obviously, they had a few really big performances, like in the World Cup in 1994. They made it all the way to the semi-finals. Weren't really one of my favorite teams, except for a few exceptions. But this time around, even though Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who is 100 years old, he was going to be in the team. He got injured. They actually have a few really exciting players playing outside of Sweden. So we might actually see some skill.
Yeah, we have a lot of players playing in really big clubs, at really big clubs like United, Juventus, Sampdoria, Real Sociedad.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. So they could be one of the surprises, like Turkey. They're one of the teams that has potential, but if they don't qualify, I don't think anyone will be too angry. From what I've seen them, they play like they did in the World Cup in 2018. So it's this really compact squad with very little width about them, who will defend a lot and who will hope that they're a few of their most skillful players, like Emil Forsberg, who plays for Leipzig, Dejan Kulusevski, who plays for Juventus, that they'll do something special. Julia, can I be completely honest with you?
Yes, tell me.
I think the Sweden games, they're some of the ones I'm least excited to watch in these Euros.
I think you said something similar about the Finnish.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, at this point, I'm confused. I just wanted to mention that their first game of the Swedish team is against Spain. And I'm really looking forward to, because Spain is obviously the one that everybody's rooting for, most people anyway. And think
you know it's gonna be what playing Sweden is like. It's like when you go do your taxes. It's you're gonna get through it. It's gonna take a long time, and boy, is it gonna be excruciating.
It's a necessary dose of boredom, and you know, but you have to go through it. And anyway,
I don't even think like the Swedish people are so into football, but they're so good at so many things that they just go like, it would be an embarrassment not to have a good football team.
They're really athletic and into sports, but I think they're more like into skating or stuff like that.
Yeah. Plus, and this might not be politically correct, but Swedes are also one of the teams that benefited from the fact that a lot of people, including Romanians, do go to Sweden and do move there. And some of these foreigners, they bring in their skill. For example, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Obviously, his parents, if I'm not mistaken, are from Bosnia Herzegovina.
Bosnia, yeah, but based on his name, I think he has like some Russian roots.
I don't know that. I think they moved there from Bosnia, and obviously Zlatan is one of the greatest football players, and they're probably their best ever player. But
he's not playing. So
The player I would say watch, and especially if you're a fantasy football fan, but you've probably heard of him.
Yes.
You might have heard of him. He's actually a youngster. His name is Alexander Isak. He plays for Real Sociedad, and he just broke Zlatan's record of goals for a Swedish player in La Liga.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's playing Spanish defenders every week. He's going to do that here. And he's definitely one of the players to watch. Also watch out for their other stars. We mentioned Forsberg and Kulusevski. And there are a few players that I'm eyeing that I think they might be 100 years old, because we've seen every time that they qualify, there seems to be a Mikael Lustig, and there seems to be they also have Victor Lindelof from United. He's younger, but is Andreas Granqvist 150 years old? He might be. Sweden could qualify. I would see them, but I don't think a lot of people really want to watch their games, but we will. It's part of our job. But let's actually move on and
let's talk about the last team in this group.
We have two teams to talk about, but talk about one of them. And this is usually in the past few years a much more exciting team than Sweden.
About Poland.
Let us talk about Poland.
Poland is a big country, and I'm expecting it to have lots of players. You know, I'm just judging based on the area. You have a lot of people living there, so basically you have more people to choose from. So Let's see who plays for Poland.
Let me give you a brief intro. So, you know, in the past couple of, let's say last decade or so, Poland has had some exceptional players, but they haven't really performed as expected in competitions. The last time they were at the Euros and the last time that they were at the World Cup, they were disappointing.
Yes, but they have players playing in a lot of big clubs in Europe.
They do, but it was mostly it's starting to be a thing of the past. They do have one of the best players in the world, of course, and that is
Robert Lewandowski
from Bayern Munich. And yeah, traditionally a lot of their players represent teams, especially in Germany. Although there's not that much this time around. Poland, like Croatia that we mentioned before, and or the Czech Republic, they always seem to develop talent. This time around, I think they're up against it a little bit. It's they don't quite have the same shine as they did in the past.
Are you saying this because they're not young that young anymore, or
that's you know what they say about like really good players, Julia?
That they're really good.
Yeah, that and usually that they play for one more tournament than they should. They should probably retire when they're at their peak.
Oh, so you're saying that most of the times really good players don't get to retire when they're in their full glory season. They play a bit too much and then they already had their peak, so they're not performing as well.
Yeah, plus besides, you know, they used to have players, you know, from Dortmund and Bayern. They still have one. But there are a lot of players from their internal championship from Poland. That's not an exceptional championship. And also a few exotic ones like Frankowski plays for Chicago Fire. But with that being said, there are some underliers. Besides Robert Lewandowski, who's the greatest striker in Europe still.
Yeah, but he's like 30-something.
I think he might be 36. But he just broke Gerd Müller's record in Germany. They also have a few like really exciting prospects. Not prospects, but players that might really show off their skill. And I'm thinking of Piotr Zielinski from Napoli. And Arkadiusz Milik, who was also at Napoli, got a transfer at Olympique Marseille. They have Lukas Fabianski, a very reliable goalkeeper from West Ham, and Jan Bednarek from Southampton, who's also this defender that there's not a lot of skill there, maybe, but always performs really well. And if you're into fantasy football, he might rack up some points for you.
Okay, so I think you're saying that the Polish team is a good place to scout out your fantasy football players.
They traditionally are. I think a lot of people aren't expecting them to do so well, but the group that they're in could allow them to surprise us. They also have some of the longest, most difficult to pronounce names
yes.
of any team
yes.
in
I was just looking,
in the Euro.
Yeah,
give us some insights.
I was just looking over the list of names that I mentioned earlier on the UEFA website, and they seem to have a pretty long list of names. Like, basically, the entire team is here, and they're giving you explanations on how to pronounce your name. Is Bereshin? I don't know. Bereshinske? Okay.
They always seem to be more more syllables than there should be.
Yeah,
names,
it's a
right?
It's a bit too packed with a lot of letters that are making it easier to pronounce in English.
How did you like traveling to Poland, by the way?
Oh yes, we've been there together actually 2 years ago, and it was on a road trip. It was really nice and interesting, but boy, that country is huge. Like, we literally had to go from south to north and then back during our road trip, and it seemed like Poland was never ending. Like, we could never reach the border, and it's nice, you know. It's Central Europe. It's nice, but oh, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually going from one Central European country to to another that I think you've also visited as well. A very beautiful country, actually, but a team that not a lot of people will expect to perform that well.
Yes. We were going to talk about Slovakia.
Slovakia.
Which is a neighbor of Poland.
Yeah. And who have some great beer, but you have to scout it out because most of their beer there is actually made in the Czech Republic. But I'm really, I think this is actually cool because, you know, the Euros used to be for fewer teams. So you probably wouldn't have had teams like Slovakia qualify. But I would say that I'm excited. I hear that Slovakians aren't as excited as I am. They don't have great expectations.
Yeah, but still they qualify, so that's like a huge thing. And I'm also surprised to notice that most of the Central European teams and the one that used to be like in a communist, the former communist countries have apparently not bad at all teams. Like you have Slovakia, you have Croatia, you have Czech Republic. Were there communists?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
Communist.
Romania was also a communist country, but you know, you have Russia. Not saying anything bad about it, and you have Ukraine. You know, so I think it's very interesting that they're so much into sports and football, and I applaud them for that.
Yeah, the thing about Slovakia is like a few of the other teams we talked about. They were able to really develop their youth system recently.
Oh,
so a bunch of their players, they didn't really usually have players in other top leagues, but a few of their players, not a bunch, they got to play at big European clubs now, or at least or they used to in their careers.
Yeah, I don't know most of these teams, but I see that they have a goalkeeper from Newcastle.
Yeah.
And another one from Fulham.
Yeah. So there is some experience, or at least players who used to be at bigger clubs. But the biggest name in the team, and this is he's an outlier, and it's going to be a bit interesting to watch, is of course Marek Hamšík. He's their legend, and also a legend for Napoli. He actually left Napoli a couple of years ago to play in China. He is back in Europe playing for Göteborg. A lot of people will be watching him, and there's actually a strange story I heard, Julia, that the Mario Hamšík has been given the opportunity to train on his own for the past few months, just so he can be in tip-top shape for the Euros. You don't hear that very often.
I mean, are you trying to say that he wasn't, he didn't have to join the team for the trainings? He was allowed to train on his own.
I think something like that, but it's mostly the thing that he is rather old. He hasn't played at this level for a long time, but he is their most famous player, so they're like bending backwards to accommodate him, just so that he will play.
Yeah, but this is a team sport. Like, did he get the memo? I'm just, you know, like, I get it, you're kind of, you know, special and kind of the star of the team, but still, when you're expected to play in a team, I assume you need to, you know, train with your team.
And the other really big star of the team is Milan Skriniar. He plays for Inter Milan, really one of the best defenders in Serie A. Obviously, just having one top or a couple of top players in... especially defense, doesn't guarantee that you'll do a lot. They're one of the teams that are expected least to perform well, even by their own supporters.
Oh.
So everything that they do is a bonus. But I don't think they're going to be a team that, especially since, like you mentioned, they have Martin Dubravka from Newcastle in goal, I don't think they're going to be a team that lose by a sensible amount. Although, when you're playing Spain and Poland, you never know.
Yeah, so the thing is that the first game of this group is Poland versus Slovakia. And as we mentioned, Poland has a pretty good squad. So... That might affect the morale of the Slovakian team.
Yeah, you might get really depressed if Lewandowski scores a hat trick against you. But I think all in all, it's really a bonus that they did qualify. There's so many teams that haven't, And there are a few players to watch, obviously. You've probably heard of Vladimir Weiss, like I mentioned, Milan Skriniar, Martin Dubravka. But a lot of players either in active in the Slovak League or in lower tier teams in Europe, teams like Slavia Prague or Groningen. They might surprise us, but as mentioned, they might actually do what most people expect them to and just go home pretty quickly.
The question is, would you scout them in your fantasy football squad?
I think when it comes to like the first game, there are definitely a few players I would. I mean, I'd love to have Milan Skriniar on my team whenever.
If they're playing.
I'm sure Martin Dubravka is going to have a lot to work with. Just because, like, he's going to have, like, goals, shots non-stop. Like, bam, 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 bam. And that brings a goalkeeper a lot of points in some daily fantasy games. But the rest of them, I would scout them after the first game. So if they don't lose 5-0 to Poland, I'll go Sweden. Yeah, I think I'll have a few of them.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about Marek Hamšík, but I, you know, given that he hasn't really played in at top level for a long time, I wouldn't get my hopes up.
Yeah, I just want to mention a rather interesting thing that I noticed. This group plays in St. Petersburg and Seville, and I just want to mention that it looks kind of extreme. You know, to have one game in St. Petersburg. It's summer already, but still, Russia is not exactly, you know, a holiday destination. In June, it could be still cold. And then you have Seville in Spain, and that's already too hot, I think. And it's kind of extreme, I know.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, the trip there, that's gonna take a while. Yeah, it should be interesting, and this is a group that could promise a few surprises. But let's actually go to my favorite segment. It is Boy That Stinks.
Boy That Stinks. We cannot mention anything just yet. We need to see them playing first, but...
But there is something that does stink, and it's the fact that a player that calls himself God... will not be at the Euros, unfortunately, and that is a pretty injury-prone Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Eddie is quite a big fan of Zlatan, and his team. He's in Zlatan team fans of you know, of his for a long time now. He's been following him. He's always been. I think you were watching Sweden. Just to see him play?
A few times, yeah. He didn't play in the World Cup. He actually retired from the squad.
Yeah.
He said that he'd be back for this one. Obviously, no one expected him that at his age this could happen. But he had such a good season in Serie A. Unfortunately, he is injured. You know, let's be honest here. The thing that he would have supplied them with the most is a bit of charisma, because Sweden team is definitely missing a lot of that, a lot of shine. So having, you know, a world-class striker like him. Plus, just imagine, like, the posters when they play Poland. You would have had, like, Zlatan next to Lewandowski. That would have been pretty amazing. But unfortunately, it's not to be. And it also stinks that Sergio Ramos, whatever you may think of him, he's actually not going to be present because Luis Enrique did not pick him. I am expecting that Sergio Ramos won't take this lying down, and he is already preparing some mode of attack.
Is this football, or are we still talking about football, or is this kind of soap opera?
When it comes to Sergio Ramos, I'm not sure if we're talking only about football, but also about some... you know, contact sports.
Contact sports. I think, yeah, over at the time, you mentioned some other incidents that happened on the pitch and outside of it that involved him. But
he is a great captain and defender. But he's also a player, I think, who holds a record for number of red cards.
Yeah.
Obviously, he managed to take out Mo Salah from the Champions League final, which one twist of the arm there.
Yeah, that was in Kiev. I remember that.
Yeah. So it stings that we won't have them. Football stars, they do move the needle, whatever people say.
Yeah, but still, we cannot say that it's like a complete bummer. Like, football can still go home, you know, and I'm sorry for the rest of the teams, but, you know, it's just... I'm just kidding. We don't know yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we'll go to, you know... Do you think that any of these teams are, sure to qualify?
No, that's the weird thing. Normally, I would have said Spain, no problem. But the fact that they have such an unexpected squad, that might make them a big surprise. Poland has also done so well recently, but they have an aging squad and not as many stars as they used to. But let's head over to our final segment, and it's near and dear to our hearts.
So. We're going to talk about fantasy football advice, and we have Eddie, our expert here.
Yeah, so regardless of the fantasy football game that you're playing, you definitely have some players to watch for in these groups. Of course, if you're going for stars, you're probably going to want to look at players like Lewandowski, but there are a few, let's call them dark horses in these groups. You know, for Sweden, you have players like I mentioned, Alexander Isak might get a few chances to play. He's going to score. He's going to be pretty cheap, whatever game you play. So if you're playing UEFA Fantasy, it's going to be pretty cheap. If you're playing Football Coin, he's going to be free, I think. Emil Forsberg as well, but especially Dejan Kulusevski. He did really well for Juventus.
I just want to mention that I just noticed the fantasy football game on UEFA's website.
How did you like it so far?
It's pretty interesting, but it's pretty basic too. Yeah. And the thing that I find it kind of hard to, set up your team is that after each step of the championship, like game, or day, you know, in which one or more games are happening, you can change the players from your team, but I'm not sure if you have unlimited substitutions. I need to check this. So this can be a bummer, because if some teams don't qualify, then you are left with some players in your team, your fantasy football squad, that are not playing, and I don't know what's happening then in that case.
Yeah, you know, like the classic fantasy games, have you choose a squad that you kind of play with throughout the competition, like yeah. Fantacalcio and this one that you mentioned. I'm more of a fan of the daily fantasy games where you get to choose a completely new side from one, you know, like event to another. So in that sense, I like Football Coin the best. I know there are a few alternatives. I know Fantacalcio is doing a fantasy game that I've yet to check out. So Rare, they're also a crypto game that's doing a few things, but pretty hard to get players in there if you're not willing to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for some actual rewards, you know, just win stuff, but also a game of skill, so not gambling, I would say fantasy football from Football Coin is really good. There are also some alternatives in the gambling sense, like FanDuel. Those are really good. But yeah, that's gambling, you know, and it depends what you think about it. When you're choosing your fantasy football team for this group, I would definitely think you have to go a bit in depth with the scouting. Most of the players from Spain, for example, they'll be pretty expensive whatever game you play. But players like Thiago and Rodri, you know, just great passers, they should bring you a lot of points. I also want to see Gerard Moreno, I guess, and Mikel Oyarzabal. There are two strikers that I really like. But besides that, I think you're gonna find some really surprises after the first one or two games from the other three nations as well, not necessarily stars.
Okay, so I also remember that, and we talked about this in our first podcast, usually even if a team is you know, not expected to perform well, it can deliver some surprises. And I want to ask you, Edra, from your experience, your extensive experience of watching international football and other championships, do you think that if a team, let's say, I don't know, pick whatever, I don't, for example, Poland, let's say, if they start well, like their first game, they perform really well, does that carry on with them for the entire championship? Like, if a team that you are not expecting it to perform that well does like really good job for during their group stage, do they play like really good after that as well?
That's a really good question. I think I think so, especially if they manage to grab 3 points, because you know they're only 9 points in the game basically.
It's
in,
getting
in
complicated
group.
Now
No. I mean, you have 3 games, right? So the maximum points you can win is 9. If you get 3 points from your first game, 3 points is actually a big chunk of it. So you're already thinking about qualification, and the other teams are as well.
So you're getting 3 points if you win the game.
Yeah. So for example, let's imagine Spain doesn't perform that well, and they only manage draws in their first 2 games.
Yeah. So how many points?
They've only managed 2 points. Their final game, they're going to be nervous as hell to win it.
Oh, I understand.
Because you can't really go through with free draws. You have to beat at least one team.
Okay, you
maybe
have to
two.
Win. You have to win at least one game.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It's going to be usually the European championships are pretty safe. Like teams, they don't press that much. They don't attack that much. But eventually, they're going to have to. Because, like I said, if you get 3 draws and just play beautifully, but just get 3 draws, 3 points shouldn't really qualify you.
So with the draws, you get 2 points or one?
With a draw, you get 1 point.
You said 2, that's why I got confused.
Oh, sorry. No, I meant if you get like 3 draws, so 3 points, that's not going to be enough, probably.
Okay, so the point is that if a team plays well during their group stage, then the chances are they're gonna do well in their next stages.
Like I'll tell you right away what Sweden's gonna do, what they do all the time. They're gonna try and like kill the game and grab a draw against Spain and Poland.
Yeah, but that's not
the point. And they're gonna try and beat Slovakia because they think they're a weaker side.
So they have like a strategy for
the group.
Okay, so do you, all the teams have like a strategy? Like for this game, we're going to play like this, and then for the other ones, we're going to adopt a different strategy. It's like that?
Pretty much, unless you're like a really big team like Spain, in which case you're kind of expected to win your games.
Because I was thinking, excuse my ignorance, that we are watching football and the point of the game is, you know, is to win the game.
And like score goals.
And score goals, you know, that's what people want to see. That's why we have Euro 2020 with lots of sponsors and everything. So people are watching for the spectacle, you know, for the entertainment.
I watched it and you watched it with me. Like the thing is, we watched the Champions League final with my dad. And like my dad wasn't having it. He was like, a lot of people called it a great match, but
it was so technical and boring for people who were, you know, looking to see something spectacular happening. At this point, after watching a lot of football with you, I could see some of the things that you were trying to explain. But as you said, a lot of time it was like watching a game of chess played on a football pitch.
Plus, how long is a game of chess typically? It can even be a few minutes. A game of football is when you take in like the preparation and the halftime. That's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like it's 2 hours for every game. I'm gonna see every game in the group, but I'll be honest with you, I love football to death. I'm not that excited about seeing, you know, like Sweden or
okay.
Finland.
Because, so we're going back to that.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're really invested in Sweden.
Or you're Swedish.
Perhaps. It's not a lot of fun. You know, people are saying some rules should be changed just so football can be more, you know, just bring a bit of spectacle back. I don't think you can because of tradition. But yeah, that's something like the sponsors, they're paying for like goals and dribbles. Is there going to be a lot in this group? Don't hold your breath for it, folks.
Okay, so time to wrap it up. I have to mention, and I want to mention the fact that we're almost finished with the group reviews. We only have Group F, the last group to talk about. That's going to happen real soon. And in my opinion, and Eddie's totally on board with me, the last group is probably the most exciting group. So check out our next podcast. And don't forget to whatever channel you're using to listen to us, please do subscribe or follow us. And
yeah, also, it makes all the difference.
I think we have a Twitter.
We have a Twitter account, and you can also catch us on YouTube and wherever you catch podcasts. We will be there. Any sort of support, it does make the world of difference right now.
And I was trying to convince Edward that maybe during the games and for the entire Europe, we can, you know, send out some real-time tweets with our honest opinions. So if you read something really stupid, it's probably me.
That yeah. Actually sounds like fun. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Let's think about doing that.
So talk to you real soon, and that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Until next time. See you.
Bye-bye.